Seated, and let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Glory to God. I'm teaching on the subject of what it means to be blessed. I was going to start something new, and the Lord reminded me, hey, you didn't finish. I had to go back and listen to the last Wednesday night message, and sure enough, we've had such, you know, the Holy Spirit just taking over type meetings, and we're, you know, a lot of things here that I need to teach you and give you, because I don't want it just to be hype. I mean, I don't want it just to, you know, to be all thrill and everybody, you know, have a good time, and that's great, and we don't want to just blow up and blow out. We got to be rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 26. Let me start there, and kind of, if you hadn't, you know, listened to any of the tapes, I think we've had two or three messages on what it means to be blessed. Blessed, let me give you a definition. It means to be endowed. It means an empowerment. An endowment is something that is given or bestowed on us or on a person by their Creator. How many know who your Creator is tonight? And so He has given you the power to be a blessing. You are a blessing. Say it with me. Say, I am a blessing. Say, I am blessed. And I am a blessing. All right. And in Acts chapter 3, I begin reading you some things here and telling you who qualifies, because who are the blessed? Who are the blessed? What qualifies us to be blessed? We got to be careful. We just don't throw around our words, because it's almost like a cliche for a Christian. You know, you ask them, how you doing? Well, I'm blessed. Or, you know, somebody sneezes, bless you. But we really sometimes don't have any idea what we're saying. We don't just need to throw around words for the sake of throwing them around, but we need to understand really what the blessing is, who qualifies for that blessing, and how do we receive that blessing. This is the year of the fulfillment of the blessing of God. Amen? And I'm believing for your year, before it's over, you to be filled with the fullness of the blessing of God. Do you receive that? Amen. All right. It says to you first, Acts 3:26, God, having raised up His servant Jesus, sent Him to what? What did Jesus come to do for us? Well, He come to bless us, right? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. In other words, when we receive Jesus, the Bible says we become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, if any man be in Christ, what? He is a new creation, and old things passed away. We know that Jesus became sin on that cross. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. Now, if you turn over to the book of Proverbs, we're just going to kind of move quickly here. So I'll speak fast and you listen fast, okay? I said, okay, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. Who are those that put themselves to receive the blessings of God? In Proverbs chapter 10, let's look at verse 6 and read it. It says, blessings, are you with me? You got to be a little quicker. Blessings are on the head of the who? Okay, who are the righteous? Okay, we just quoted 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it says, the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. So if you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, then you are the righteous, and that puts you in to a place to qualify for the blessing of God. Now let's see what else is necessary here. You're right there in Proverbs. Go to Psalms chapter 5. Just back up and go all the way to the first part of the book of Psalms chapter 5. And let's read verse 11 and 12. It says, but let those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Aren't you glad that we have a defender? That someone tonight who is greater than any force in this world, natural or spiritual, is defending you? Amen. Hey, yeah, amen. It says, let them also who love your name be joyful in you, for you, O Lord, look at verse 12, will bless the who? You will bless the righteous. And it says, with favor. So I'm kind of giving you a little sneak preview here. Favor is a blessing that comes from God upon the righteous. Now, what is favor? Well, favor is necessary for you to get where you need to go. We need faith, but we need favor. Amen. We need the favor that says that God will open doors. And the doors that God will open, no man can shut. Are you with me? We need the favor of God going before us. So you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround him as with a shield. So not only does God defend me, but he gives me favor, and he surrounds me. I have the shield of faith, amen, that I can hold up and it will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now go back to Proverbs 28:20. Because a while ago, remember I talked about us being faithful. But how many know God is faithful whether we're faithful or not? Amen. Now that's the good news. Proverbs 28. And let's look at verse 20. If you got it, say amen. Amen. Okay. I'm a little slow here, but I'm getting there. It says, a what kind of man? Faithful. So we've already talked to you. I talked to you. That's why I took so much time, I think, in the offering, because I was trying to get you focused in on what a faithful man does. A faithful man has to be committed to God. A faithful man has to focus in on what God's Word says, not what man says, or what circumstances say, or what the economy says, or anybody else. Are you with me? It says, a faithful man will abound with what? Blessings. Say blessings. Okay. But he who hastens to be rich, in other words, if you want to try to do it your way, God will let you do it your way. If you want to allow other things to be the first and the pursuit of your life, then God will allow that to happen. But you see, what we have to understand is that if we try to do it ourselves, I can almost assure you, you're going to fail. Amen. You're going to come short. Yes. Or even worse, you're going to get away from God. Now, that's a bad place to be. How many understand? We were talking the other day about some people that I started with in business, and they're all multimillionaires. They said, you know, hey, if you'd have stayed with this and stayed here, you'd be a millionaire too. I said, yeah, but I'd probably be on my way to hell. You know, we have to come back to an understanding that God wants us to have everything that the world has. But that the world, the difference is those things are what drive the world. Amen? Those things are what not only influences them, but separates them. The Bible says that prosperity, remember, will ruin a fool. So I don't want to be a fool for the world, amen, going after the wrong goals, G-O-A-L. Going after the wrong G-O-L-D. Are you here? Okay. So faithfulness means one who is firm, one who has moral fidelity. One who is steady, somebody that is truthful, somebody that's not easily shaken, not easily moved by the times. They don't get, you know, they don't allow things to shake them away from their pursuit of God. Are you with me, church? We're talking about qualifications in order to be in position to receive the blessings of God. Now, go over to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 28. I'm just going to give you a lot of scripture here. I don't have a lot of time, but I'll get going on this thing and probably have to take another week to finish it. But that's all right. You're learning. Okay? We're asking the question, who are the blessed. Before we can talk about the blessing, the endowments of God and the favor of God, listen, it don't matter if they're available, and they are available, but we got to know how to get them. We got to know how to walk in them. Amen? Because there's a place we can walk separated from God. Now, here's the instruction of God to the children of Israel in verse 28, or chapter 28, verse 1. It says, now it shall come to pass if... Now, circle that word if. How many know what if means? If is a preset condition. Because everybody in here can make a choice. I said everybody in here gets to make a choice of who they're going to serve, and not only who they're going to serve, but how they're going to serve God. Now, I mean, no, you can't serve God your way and be blessed. I'll talk about that, I believe, on Sunday, because I want you to get... I'm going to talk about... Remember I said I'm going to talk about alignment for assignment. I thought I was going to do that tonight, but I ain't going to get there. Because we have to understand that we can walk in a place that's God's permissive will. We can walk in a place where, you know, it's the what God will allow us to do. But we don't want to stay in that place of what God will allow us to do. Amen? We want to get over into the perfect will of God. You know why? Because that's the safest place that we can be. But it's also the place where we're going to max out in the blessings of God. How many want max blessings? The fulfillment of God's blessing upon your life. Well, it says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe. Now, underline that word too, because you've got to make a choice, but the word observe means that you got to do it. You have to make a choice to do it. It says, if you observe carefully all His commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these what? All these blessings shall come upon you and what? Overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord. Amen. See, you have to make a choice to observe. The word observe there really means to be diligent, to stick with it. You don't do it one time and then don't do it the next three times. You do it every time. In other words, he's insinuating here that we can all make excuses, right? And sometimes our excuses are pretty good, but we've got to get back to the place. If we're going to walk in the fullness of the blessing of God, we're going to have to obey the voice of the Lord our God. Are you with me? And then Deuteronomy, right there, just go a couple more over. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. See, here's a qualification. Righteousness, faithfulness, that's number two. And number three is obedience. You're not going to be blessed by God. You may qualify for the blessing, but you're not going to receive the fullness of the blessing unless you're obedient. All right? Verse 15 in Deuteronomy chapter 30. It says, I've set before you... Now look at this. See, I've set before you today, what? Life and good, death and evil. Verse 16, in that I command you today to what? To love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, His commandments, His statutes, and His judgments. I'm putting this on there so you can see that. That you may what? Live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. In other words, if this is where the Lord has brought you, He will bless you here. Why should you move to Houston? Why should you move to Dallas? Why should you move to Timbuktu? If the Lord has brought you here, He will bless you here. He knows how to bless you in the midst of every wilderness and every desert. Amen. I tell you, I hear people say, well, it looks like the grass is greener over there. Well, keep eating. Keep chucking. Amen. Are you with me? And then let's look at one more. Man, I tell you, we're talking about the qualifications for blessing, okay? So here's a fourth qualification. I think it's important that we bring this up, especially in the day that we live in, is those who bless Israel. Genesis chapter 12. We're talking about qualifications. Who gets blessed? Well, the righteous, the faithful, the obedient, and those that will walk in the statutes, the judgments. And look what it says here. It says, verse 1, 2, and 3, the Lord said to Abram, you know, He tells him the instruction here, and He tells him that He'll make his name great. Look at this in verse 2. He said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you, and in you all, look at all there, underline all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Psalms 115, quickly. Just keep moving right along here in Psalms 115. And I'll have to end probably with this one, but there's a lot here that I need to show you about this. Psalms 115, here's the fifth qualification. Let's read verse 12. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. We're on the Lord's mind. Did you know that? The Lord has a better way. We found a new and a living way. Amen. It says, He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. Now, our opportunity is to bless Israel. Amen. Because if we bless Israel, then we'll be blessed. All right, so that's a qualification. But now look what it says. It says, He will bless those who fear the Lord, both great and small. Now, we've done a lot of teaching on what the fear of the Lord is. But, you know, we always have to come back and let the Bible define itself. Because a lot of people don't understand what the fear of the Lord is. And I like to use what the Bible says. Let me just go ahead and show you Proverbs 8:13, because it defines what the fear of the Lord is, okay? It says in verse 13, it says the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. I looked up the word hate. You know what the word hate means? It means to hate. Well, actually it means to detest or to oppose something. Okay? I don't want you to... See, here's our problem. We use our words too loosely. And not only too loosely, but we have to think about what we mean. You ever heard a preacher preach, you have to think about what he's saying? I hope it's not me. But what we have to understand is that the language in which the Bible originated from, Old Testament originated from what? Greek. The New Testament, did I say that right? The New Testament originated. Thank you. My tongue hadn't caught up with my brain tonight. I said it originated from the Greek. The Old Testament originated from the Hebrew. Now the Greek is a precise language. For example, we say, We love dogs. We love hot dogs. I love my wife. I love you, brother. And we have to discern what we mean because we use one word for all that stuff. Now, how many know I love my brother different than I love my wife? But see, we have to stop. Now that you have to stop and Or, how many know if you say, well, I love my dog, how many know you love your wife more than you love your dog? I hope the feeling is mutual. Are you with me? So this is what I'm talking about. See, when we read an English translation of the Bible, we really have to discern what we're reading because we won't read it correctly. In the Greek, there's four words. Really, there's five words for the word love. When we say it, we just use one general word. But see, God is love. But in the Greek, you would say, well, I eros my wife. Well, that's talking about a sexual attracting type love, right? But the love of God is what? Agape. Now, the Greek is a precise language. That's why there's a word. You don't have to, when you see a word, a Greek word used, it was precise. You didn't have to sit there and figure out what the writer was trying to say, or the one speaking it. But let me say this. The Hebrew language, without getting technical and deep on you, is even more precise than the Greek. It is the most precise language ever invented. You know why? Because it was invented by God. Amen. You cannot make a mistake or misspell a word in Hebrew. If you know Hebrew. Now, I don't know it, but I mean, I've just studied a little bit to know that everything Hebrew reads right to left, but the number, every letter corresponds with a number, and the numbers have to line up vertically and horizontally. And the numbers have to be correct, or the words are not correct. So that's why you can't make a mistake in Hebrew. Are you with me? And so when we talk about God and the blessing. Now, we'll get into this because we have to understand how does God invoke the blessing. He invokes the blessing by speaking or proclaiming His name. Every name of God. Now, you go, if you look in your Bible, if you notice that in some scriptures, like the one that's up there right now, is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Now, you'll find sometimes it's capital L and then little O-R-D. Sometimes you'll find it's capital G, capital O, capital D. And sometimes you'll find it's G, little O, little D. So all of those words were translated from Hebrew, which expound or declare a name of God. And when God would reveal Himself, He would reveal Himself through His name. Remember, I taught you a little bit Sunday about El Shaddai and Elohim. But we'll get into that, okay, because it takes me a little time to develop that with you. But tonight, I want you to stand up on your feet with me. I'm being pretty good here. On the blessing of God. Say, I have the blessing. Say, I am a blessing. God is full of blessing. God is full of everything. In other words, how much does it take of compassion or love to fill God up? We say God is what? Good. All the time. But in essence, all the time, God is good. He can't be anything but good. He's all good. If He drove up to the gas pump and said, fill it up with compassion and mercy, you couldn't put any more in His tank. It's full. He has it all. And you can't deplete it because He regenerates. And so when He blessed a person, and we'll see this in the Old Covenant, he blessed that person by revealing his name. When he appeared to Abram, you'll see the word God, Elohim, remember? He revealed himself as the God who creates, the Creator God. But when he came to him to reveal to him the promise, I am the Almighty God, then you'll see the spelling different, but it refers not just to El Shaddai, the mighty God part, but it's Jehovah or Yahweh. We pronounce it Jehovah or Jehovah, but it's really Yahweh Adonai. It was the word that the Hebrew people had difficulty in using it because they didn't want to take the name of the Lord's name in vain. And so God would reveal himself, and then that person, like Abraham, would get a revelation that God created the heaven and the earth. He created the male and the female. But now I see God as the one who can override the natural law. You see what I'm talking about? And you talk about now faith begins to build. And that when God blesses us, nobody can curse you. You see? And so all this becomes, wow. This is God. He can't be anything but God. He can't be evil. There is no evil in him. He can't be dark. He is absolute love, absolute mercy, absolute compassion, absolute everything. You can't get it any purer or any more. Are you with me, church? And when he blesses you and you're a recipient and you qualify for that blessing, then you are everything that he is, that he has blessed you with. Because he has given not only him that name, but Jesus has given you that authority or the right to exercise that name, to use that name on God's behalf. Wow. Yeah, we just have to, wow. How can we fail? How can we come behind in any good thing? Are you with me? Okay.